Well, it's good to be back here. And as I was quickly reminded this afternoon at Cedar Hills that there's one thing that I can never live down here is that I will be known as the kid that stripped at the Christmas program here when he was younger and swung his suspenders around. And I was asked if I'm wearing suspenders, and I purposely didn't, just so it would ease everyone that that's not going to be a part of this presentation. So I just want to lead us in prayer real fast. Dear Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And I thank you just for this church here and the blessing and the people here that you have filled this place with over the years, the people who have been faithful to your word and faithful in making disciples and faithful and serving here and giving and going out, Lord, for the impact that has been made in the classrooms here and in youth group and in Awana and Sunday schools and during the services here, Lord. We thank you for that. Let us always have our focus set on you. We thank you and pray this in your name. Amen. Just an update on my life. Let's see. I grew up here and so left here and went to Cedarville University and decided that that just wasn't for me. And Chuck was like, I'm heading out to North Dakota. And I said, I'm going to go with you. I said, give me a job. He's like, all right, let's do it. So I went out there and Chuck alluded. We had an absolutely crazy year. And I did, it was like an internship, stayed there for a year and said, you know what, actually I think I want to go back to school. And I went back to school at Cedarville and I was there for another year and a half. And I said, you know what, this just isn't working out again. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go back to North Dakota. And so once again, I moved out to North Dakota and that started several years out there of just fun, exciting and crazy ministry at a Bible camp in North Dakota in the middle of nowhere. And I can speak on that just for hours of the things that God did out there and just the cool things that happened there. And so during that time, I got to know a young lady named Cree. And through different things, we actually went on a national parks trip together. Instead of taking a traditional class, we took this class that focused on the national parks. And so for 2.5 weeks, we spent time in this van with 4 other people and a professor, and it was a blast. We had tons of fun, and so over the next couple of years, we kept in touch, and through some circumstances, she kind of just said, hey, you know what? We've been friends for quite a while, and we're talking quite a bit. I think we need to do something about this, and I was like, oh, well, okay, and so she came out and visited North Dakota, and we sat there, and we said, you know what? I think we like each other, and this is a good thing. So we talked about a few things, and we said we need to pray. And she went back home, and we prayed for a few days about this. And within a week, we were dating, and within 3 months, we were engaged. And then the rest is history from there. So I left Cooperstown and moved to Camp Hebron in Pennsylvania, which is right outside Harrisburg. And was there for about a year, and then the Lord called us away, and he's calling me into church ministry now, and so I am pursuing seminary right now in Pennsylvania. I do it all online, and we live in Glenmore, Pennsylvania, which is right outside Exton, and enjoying life there and going through school and enjoying that, yeah. And just recently, which was really cool, I was asked to join our church staff as a pastoral assistant, and so I am in charge of our young adult ministries and a few other things like that, and just continually trying to learn the ins and outs of church ministry and what that means. So for me to come here is just a blessing, and it was really cool. And so when Matt asked me, I was just honored to come back here. Because really, I'm a product of Willisbrook Baptist. You know, obviously, my parents were born here. I was born, and grew up in the Sunday schools and in Awana. And I think I was actually baptized 2001, 2002, if I'm correct, right around there. And many of you have played massive roles in my life. Daryl and Shelley, you guys played massive roles. And Pastor Brad, just as Chuck said, you know, it's unfair, but I compare every other person I hear to Pastor Brad. It's just like, well, that's not Pastor Brad. So, I mean, that was all right, but it wasn't Pastor Brad. But no, just so many people here, so many people from Side of Hills that aren't here right now that have played huge roles in my life. And for those of you who don't know, I worked on summer staff from there from 2006 to 2010, I think, and I don't know how many hours I probably spent out there volunteering and things like that. So, as Pastor Brad said, I'm just going to talk a little bit from 2 Timothy. And so, obviously, he did his doctorate on that, and so it's not going to be quite as good as that. But I'll see what I can do. But I, when Matt asked me about this, one of the things that I thought about was what is so important to me? What is important to me right now? What do I want to communicate to the church? What do I want to communicate about the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of the local church? And the thing that just kept popping in my mind was the faithful ministry of the word here and the faithful ministry of making disciples here. And so if you bear with me for just a moment while I find my notes, I want to read 2 Timothy for you, not the whole book, but just starting here in verse 3 of chapter 1, and I'll go through a little ways into 2. I thank God whom I serve, as I did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of the hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you heard from me, and in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted into you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygius and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you will know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in sufferings as a good soldier, Christ Jesus. And so, when I think about the ministry here and I think about where I am at now, I would not be here if it was not for those who have discipled me, for not those who have come alongside me. And some of the observations I see in here is that there's sound teaching. There's the sound words It's not the false words. We go to 1 Timothy and it's not silly myths. It's not just anything, but it's the sound teaching. And when I think back to WBC, I think of the sound teaching that we get all the time. The sound teaching that happens not only on the Sunday services, but happens in the Sunday schools, that happens in youth group. Let us not take that for granted. I was having a conversation here recently, and we were talking about church ministries and the pros and the cons and the needs, and it came to, yeah, that guy's a good preacher, but, you know, is he really communicating what he needs to communicate? Is he discipling? Is he doing what needs to be done in the church? And there's a lot of churches that's happening, and here the solid teaching happens. I don't think you can beat that. And so we look back and we think right now, we look at Paul here, and Paul is at the end of his life, and the person he writes to, the person he wants to communicate this kind of last moment with, this letter, is Timothy, you know, his son in the spirit. And, you know, what does he tell him? Guard the deposit that's been entrusted to you. And to make disciples. You know, we look at verse 2 here, and it says, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Don't just trust to anyone. Don't just trust it to that person, and they're going to do whatever they need to do, but trust it to faithful men. And so it's not just anyone that we're throwing this out to. It's not just any person. It's those who are faithful. It's those who are called. And, you know, I think back to when I was younger and, you know, searching and trying to find the answers. And who were those that came alongside of me? I think of Pastor Brad. I think of Pastor Daryl. I think of Chuck in a lot of ways. They helped shepherd me through times that I don't know where I would be if I hadn't been for those influences. I think of Aaron Cook, I think, who's going to be here with us later. And the wisdom that he would share during the summers and just the growth that happened there because of that. I want to encourage you guys. You know, Paul could have said many things. There could have been, he could have bragged on himself in this last letter. He said, look at me and everything that I did. Look at all the things that I accomplished. Look at the humbleness. I was beaten and I was scorned and it was this and that and look at this. But instead he says, Timothy, guard what's been given to you and entrust it to those. Go out and make those disciples. And it's great coming back here every time I get to visit because I see so many around us that are hurting. We have a lot in this area that are hurting. We have a lot in this area who are craving for an answer, for something. And, you know, sometimes we expect for them to just come up to us. You know, we expect the church to grow when they just start coming through the doors. You know, man, you know, we're really going to start growing. There's just tons of people. They're just going to come right through the doors. We're going to do this. They're going to come through the doors. And it's going to be great. And I don't think that's always the case. I think we need to be going out to them. And so I encourage that we strengthen and build up here within the church. But then we go out and we bring them in. And that's what's so encouraging. Pastor Brad alluded to all the different ministries that we have been involved with over the years, that we have made such an impact around here. I think of the biblical counseling. I think of Cradle and all the good that has done. And the discipleship that happens during that. And it was so encouraging for me as I'm going through camp ministry and was spent some time as a program director and getting to disciple some of the young men through the summer. And some of them, they're wanting to grow, and it's great, and it's easy, and it's a piece of cake, and you're just walking them through the summer. And then some, a little harder, And some of them are going through a lot. And it's messy. And it's a little dirty. And, you know, he's struggling with depression. And he's going through that. And I had a guy last year who was just really going through a lot. And there were several deaths in his family. And he was hurting and he was struggling. And for whatever reason, he attached to me. And the Lord used that relationship to really not only encourage him, but encourage me as he had this attitude of, I just want to know Christ. I want to know him better. But I don't know. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do. And at first, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. This is a lot. It's a lot to take in. And I'm thinking, Lord, maybe I should send him off here, and I should hand him off to this person, and I should do that. And then it came to me, and I realized, Lord, you literally did walk him to me. And that happens sometimes. You plopped him in front of me. And so it was so good to disciple him for a while there, and watch him walk through a time where he needed to leave school and he needed to be shepherded through that. And thankfully now he's serving in a great ministry, helping others that are going through the same depression and hardship that he was going through. And I want to say this as encouraging, but yet as firm as I can. This is not something that is an optional thing. Discipleship is not something that God says, well, if you feel like it, you can do it. You know, if you're super talented in communicating this, you can do it. But he calls all of us to discipleship. You know, and so I think all of us have those unique relationships in our life. You know, I just think, you know, to probably one of the most given discipleship relationships you can have is a parent to a child. And I think of my father and how much he has discipled me, still discipling me. Talk to him all the time, and he just, boy, are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? Are you still in the Word? Are you praying? You need to be praying. But you know what? I tease him for that. But is there any better advice? Is there anything more? And he's been faithful to that. And I'm, you know, can't ask for anything better. And so you have a parent and child. But then how many spiritual children do all of you have here at church? Do you have in those ministries? I don't know how many Sunday school teachers, you know, I can't name them all, who had impacts on me. You know, I don't know. I remember I thought it was the coolest thing when Pastor Darrell would let me come down for youth group here or there. And, you know, would let me be cool like that. Because I wanted to be cool like that, you know. Because I was the awkward sixth grader when there was, you know, all the younger kids. And then it was just me. I was the one sixth grader. But I remember working at camp my first summer. And the impact that it had to be around the college-age kids. And to be around Aaron Cook. And that was Scott's first summer. And getting to know him. And I was joking where I saw Al. I was joking with Al earlier, and he was one of the first guys that I met that first week, and we were working on repairing a deck, and I said it was so awkward at first, and don't know what to do about that. And then all of a sudden, it was just like something connected us, and we just had a conversation after conversation, and it was, I mean, we joke all the time now, and it was great. But he was such an encouragement to me for the rest of that summer. And yet, I knew the guy for 5 seconds, you know, and he had never been here before. But just the faithfulness of those people throughout my life. And I think we can all sit here and think, who has been faithful in your life? How did you get to where you've been? And I think now, what's the opportunity that I have to be faithful to those that God is going to put in front of me, that I'm going to walk to, and that those of that are going to walk to me? And we can make all the excuses we want. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I don't want to do that. I'm too busy. That's the easiest one. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. You know, I'm already doing this. I'm already doing that. I've checked all that off. I don't have time to invest in this person. And I'm sure Paul sometimes thought that about Timothy. But yet, he loved Timothy so much. Go through 1 and 2 Timothy, read through that, and you will see he just had a passion for this kid, and he believed in him. And I think there's so many of us that know that there's so many young adults or teenagers or kids or just other adults that maybe just need that person to believe in them. And it's not just an encouragement, but it's that right teaching of God's word. And I loved that he starts it off, that he's not saying through your power. He's not saying, do this because you're awesome. Do this because you said under me. But we be strengthened by the grace of Christ. And we do this all because of that. And we always turn back to the cross. You know, Paul's not trying to get the glory here. Timothy's not trying to get the glory here. Christ is getting the glory. And I love seeing this always put up here. Committed to knowing Christ and making Christ known. And a lot of times I say it slightly different. It's to know Jesus and to make him known. And I say that often as my motto, if you want to say. And that's the importance. That's it. It's the cross. And that's the power. And that's what changes. It's not how sharp your words are. It's not how passionate you are. It's not how long you've been somewhere. It's not how good you are at that. But it's all because of Christ. It's all because of what he's done. And we go back to his words before he left. Go back to the gospel. Go back to the end of Matthew. And what does he do? He gives us the Great Commission. And Paul just continually just points back to Christ and just said that I'm just following what he said. I'm just doing what he said. And so I urge you, I plead with you to look in your lives and to see who and where am I making disciples, or do I need to be making disciples? Am I in his word? Am I entrusting it to those around me? I wouldn't be where I'm at. I think a lot of you wouldn't be where you're at without those certain people in your life. So I encourage you. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, your word is all we need, Lord. You have given us such a blessing. Lord, we live in a country that we don't have to worry about when we open this book and where we open this book. Lord, and I pray that you would encourage us to be in your word more, to never get tired, to never get bored, to think that we are too busy to focus ourselves on who you are. Lord, let us never think we need you plus this. Let us never think that church just needs a little bit of this to spice it up. That's what we need. No, we need you. We need to be focused on what you have told us, Lord. I pray for Willowsburg Baptist. I pray for those representing other churches and other ministries here, Lord, that you would encourage them to go back into their spheres of influence and to pinpoint those that they can entrust your word to, that they can disciple and walk along and do life with, Lord, to disciple the messy and hard. Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy to have the conversations where there's many tears and there's doubt at times and there's honesty that is uncomfortable. Lord, you don't call us to a comfortable life. You don't call us to ease through this life. Lord, I pray through the power of your word that you would strengthen us and encourage us, embolden us, Lord, to talk to that neighbor, to talk to that coworker, to talk to that family member. Lord, I pray that through the ministry of Willowsburg Baptist Church that you would continue to make such a profound impact in this area, Lord, through all the various ministries here, Lord, that you would continue to send disciples out, would continue to put people in the different places through here, the different ministries, Lord, that you will continue to bring people to yourself through this church. Lord, we praise you for the faithful ministry of Pastor Brad through these 30 years, and I pray for many years more. Lord, encourage him and help him, Lord. We thank you again for who you are. We thank you again for the cross. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We pray this in your name. Amen.